Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
And folks, man, you know, I want to drop a little deeper into the conversation around youth sports. And I say that because, once again, I had a full weekend of observing youth sports competition and how coaches prepare and try to just pull things together, and I want to say pull things together last minute, because I did say it was during youth sports competition where I had this opportunity to watch, listen, and learn. It wasn't during a practice session. It was during competition. And I said they're doing the last minute pulling things together because of the simple fact that you're trying to teach during the competition. Well, what is your practice session all about? Have you covered that many things at practice, whereas now you get to your competition and you're still trying to teach? Now, I'm talking about 8U and 6U age groups. And I know their development and their learning process is ongoing. But that is not the time during the competition to introduce something new. Well, at least I don't think it is. Now, you may think something totally different. But I don't think it is. And I say that because I watched it this weekend. And the athletes, it was obvious that they were totally confused. But I watched this coach yell from the sidelines and oftentimes was out on the floor trying to direct traffic. And with the 6U competition I had a chance to watch, it was even more interesting than the 8U. And that was because coaches actually officiated that game. And they were on the floor officiating the game. And for whatever reason or another, for a 6U game, there were four adults on the floor, whereas there should have only been two, one official from each side. But there were four adults on the floor. And they were trying to direct traffic and introduce new concepts to their athletes in the middle of the game because they see what they had discussed or worked on at practice wasn't working. So as a result, you're introducing a new concept. And then I actually watched one coach. Now, again, help me if I'm totally off bases on this. I actually watched one coach try to implement a play during a 6U competition and was highly upset with the athletes because the little kids, it was a co-ed program, the little children wasn't in the proper position and they didn't understand the directions that the coach was trying to give. What was most confusing for me is, first of all, this is the development level. They have several times to learn, many years to learn plays and offensive structure. Let's teach them the fundamentals. And it stood out with me about this issue concerning plays. I'm trying to implement a play. Notice that the athletes didn't even understand the makeup of the court. And what I mean by that is oftentimes going to the wrong basket as far as the athletes was concerned. As long as they could chase the ball down before it got to the bleachers or got to the wall, then they thought it was still fair game. Whereas the out-of-bounds line actually ends approximately 3 to 4 feet before you get to either one of the two spaces, the bleachers or the wall. It was puzzling for me. So what do the coaches work on at practice? Once again, going back to the 6U game, it was a basketball game. And I noticed that the athletes didn't do anything but go up and down and shoot baskets. I actually had to say something to one of the dads that was out there at one point in time, because I was watching how he was criticizing his son. Now, during the time period that he was criticizing his son, I noticed that the child would, you know, listen to it and be receptive of it and be very, you know, very respectful. But at the same time, the child was confused. And I say that because that same young man, that same athlete, now, and he would make an attempt to take a shot. And in making that attempt to take that shot, he would just jack it up from wherever he's at with no problem, no hesitation, and definitely no worries. So that was the interesting part. Because every time he did that, the dad had something to say. But here's the funny part. Here's the kicker. Once again, the dad was out there on the floor, part of that officiating crew. Here's the kicker. The young man jacked up a shot, or took a shot, from outside the three-point line. The ball went in. Do you think that everybody celebrated, to include the dad? Most definitely did. So that's where I am puzzled. You're going to criticize him for taking shots and he's missing shots. But the minute that the very same shot that he had been taking all afternoon goes in, now you're celebrating with everybody else. Me understand that. I'm a little puzzled by that because of the simple fact that, okay, if you're going to criticize, you're going to criticize. But I wouldn't even have went as far as criticizing him. I would have been more supportive and tried to make necessary adjustments or corrections where I seen fit. Okay, hey, son, each one of your shots are falling short, or each one of your shots are going long. Step back just a little bit or move forward just a little bit. Either or, one of the two. Not just criticize and frown your face up and walk around with a tight face because your son just missed that shot. If that's the case, you work on that particular skill during the practice time or during the father-son time. But let's not make this a you criticizing him, you browbeating him because he's taking shots. And then the minute he takes a shot and the ball falls in, then all of a sudden, wow, you're celebrating. It was great. You know, you was excited to see that shot go in. Same shot he had been taking all afternoon. What changed it? What made it any different? Because now it went in? Okay, if that's the case, then you continue to encourage him to take that shot. Because, of course, we all know the more and more he takes it, the more and more he becomes comfortable with it, the more and more he learns what he needs to do to make it go in. And that helps them to avoid your criticism, which is so important. So important. Because I don't think no young athlete deserves that type of criticism from their parent. So that's one of the subjects that I want to talk about today. And I want you to join in on this conversation because, hey, my experience is just my experience, you know. And I can go on and on, which I'm going to follow with some more things that I want to discuss in reference to youth sports. But I also have another topic that I want to open the doors to. And when I say I want to open the doors to this particular topic, it's something I've hesitated to discuss, something I've stayed away from, but as I stay away from it, I realize that it's relevant. It's not going away anytime soon. And it's a conversation that needs to be developed. And when I say develop, I mean develop in the sense of where are we going to go? How are we going to move forward with this particular topic? And the topic and, you know, my opinion on it right now is I'm unsure what direction it's going to go in because, you know, there's so many athletes that have potential that can, you know, be productive. But somewhere along the line, we have to figure out how to create a balance or commonality or level playing field for these types of situations. And I say that because I think about the case with the two transgender athletes up in the state of Connecticut decided to participate in girls track and field. And as a result, just, hey, they ran away with, you know, pardon the pun, but they ran away with the contest. So, with that being said, where are we on this subject? How can we minimize the ill effects coming from some in this particular space? Vitally important that this becomes a topic because this is not going away anytime soon. So that's another topic that I want to unpack today here on the Parents Coach to Parents Network. And if you want to join in on this particular topic, please join us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. You know, I almost got deep into this show without even hearing from my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and his little piece that he titled The College Experience. So I just got to go ahead and break it out right now. Where you at, Keith?
Dude, another game. Had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then be ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
He said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Again, you want to join in on the conversation with us today, 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Love to hear from you today. See what's on your mind. See what you can bring to the table. And maybe you will share something that we need to address. We're talking about youth sports and transgender athletes in sports. Youth sports and transgender athletes in sports. You know, those are two hot topics, folks. And just want to get your thoughts on it and see, hey, how could we add to the conversation or how could we start helping to push legislation this way or that way? Or what is our overall thought? I need to hear from you, you the people, because at the end of the day, I don't have anyone else involved in sports currently. I have some grandkids that's coming up in a few years that may get involved in sports. And at that time, I'll be there to support them 100%. But as of right now, I don't have anybody involved in youth sports. So I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear, you know, what's on your mind and how you think things should be as far as we're talking, as far as it's concerned with our youth sports programs. You know, you have coaches that's out there that, you know, and I said to one of my coworkers during the time period of watching one of these competitions, said to my coworker, I said, hey, you know, it is very obvious that you could tell what the coach works on at practice. Because as we're looking at the competition, we can see that certain things are omitted from the competition or omitted from practice. It's clear. It's clear as the writing on the wall. Just due to the simple fact that, you know, you have athletes that's out there that, once again, I said, don't know what inbound lines is, out of bounds lines is. How is that? You know, you have athletes don't know how to line up during free throws. Okay, coaches, you know, when you got a situation where, you know, your athletes have to line up and the referees have to spend time lining your athletes up, then that could be somewhat of a problem. Because of the simple fact that, hey, they could have just as easy as went to the line, lined up, and kept on moving. Or do you honestly believe that that is the responsibility of the referees? I'd be willing to bet if you went over at least once or twice at practice, or even one time at practice, and then again followed up again later on down the line another time at practice. And when you did it, you made sure you identified who all the players were in the lane lines. That would have very easily alleviated referees having to go through teaching that structure during the time that he's trying to administer a foul. It would have been over with. They would have went there, they would have lined up, you would have got the shots, and it would have kept moving. Again, folks, you want to join in on this conversation, 516-453-9932, 516-453-9932. We're talking about youth sports, and in a few minutes, we're going to dig a little into transgender athletes in sports. When we dig into that side of the conversation, folks, let's be considerate of all. And I'm asking you that up front. I'm putting that out there because we have to be considerate. I'm pleading with you to be considerate of all, because we never know. There may be a transgender athlete listening to the show, and then you hear somebody say yay or nay or whatever, or give their opinion, and may discourage that child from being involved. And now that child really feels alienated. We're not trying to do that. We're not trying to do that. I do want to hear your opinion. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your ideas and your suggestions, your recommendations, things that could be put forth to our legislators, so that we don't have a situation where you have 36 states here in the 36 states have introduced anti-transgender bills, student athletics transgender bills. But before I go into that, I'm going to give you a chance to ponder and put some thought on that. Let's go back to youth sports. Now, I know I'm jumping back and forth. But I'm going to stick with this for the next few minutes or so, and then I'm going to switch over to our conversation on transgender. Hopefully, either or, all depends on how the dialogue is going, with you calling in and you sharing your insight. Either or, we get a chance to unpack some things and figure out, hey, how do we support our athletes? Now, when we're talking about youth sports, whether or not we're talking about the two major revenue sports, basketball, football, whether or not we're talking about soccer, whether or not we're talking about baseball, softball, volleyball, whatever. Folks, let's get to back to the basics. During that time frame of development, which is crucial, it is we can't get away from that. During the time period of development, the basics have to be taught. Coaches, please understand this. I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job or what you should be doing, but let's teach the basics. Let's teach the basics to the point where you know once that athlete leaves your program, he or she knows everything there is to know as far as the basic elements of that sport. the basics. Because we forget about that. That part is overlooked. And then in the end, what ends up happening is that our children are still trying to catch up on some basic elements of the game. You know, you got a football player. The player is playing the line, or the player is a running back. If that athlete is not learning earlier on during the time that they're playing football, and I got a whole nother conversation on that, but I'm going to leave it at that. During the time that you have your child out there playing football, and your child is a running back, and your child doesn't know various positions on the field, your child doesn't know the basic routes that are ran. Again, once again, your child's a running back. Or your child doesn't understand where the two hole is at, the four hole is at, the one hole is at, the three hole is at. Don't understand what those gaps mean or why those gaps exist. If your child's not learning that and your child is being thrown out there to display his or her individual talent, because that's what it's all about. It's your child's talent that needs to be developed. It needs to be developed to the point where each year you should be able to see some progress. If your child's been playing basketball since the age of 5, and now your child is the age of 8, I'm hoping, really and truly hoping, that from 5 to 6, you've seen a slight change. From 6 to 7, you've seen a slight change. From 7 to 8, you've seen a change. Especially if your child has been under the tutelage of the same coach. But if at 7 and 8, your child still doing the same thing that he or she did at 5 and 6, such as double dribble, still shooting the ball with 2 hands, traveling, still committing unnecessary fouls, not understanding the basics of defense by moving your feet and getting to the spot before your opponent gets there. If your child doesn't understand those basic concepts, you may want to look for another coach. Again, you want to join in on this conversation, 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. You know, yes, we are live, and you will be on the air with the Parents Coach Parents Network. Hey, it's all about you, parents. But I want to put this out there because I understand the value of our children getting the best out of every situation. Every situation. In those early days, early stages of their careers. Whether or not that career goes on to be a high school athlete, whether or not that career moves on to be a college athlete or a professional athlete, in those early stages, so many things are taught. You know, you're starting with the basics of time management. You're starting with the basics of following instructions. You're starting with the basics of, you know, being committed to something. Responsibilities. Those are the tangibles that are not talked about, but they are often taught, and we talk about youth sports. That's not something that the coach goes out there and he pulls out his clipboard and says, okay, folks, we're going to talk about responsibility today, and this X right here represents you, and this O right here represents you, and now we're going to talk about the No, that's not it. when they start drawing up the X's and O's, they're talking about plays. They're talking about formations. Those things that I just mentioned, responsibilities, time management, following instructions, those things are taught subliminally. If your coach gives direction, if the coach gives directions and the child decides to do something totally different, how does that coach go about explaining to that athlete what he or she was trying to do and what the end result could have been? Far too often, what I do see is coaches giving instruction, athlete at a young age, either not hearing it or choose to take it upon him or herself and do something totally different. But at the end of the day and at the end of the play, a touchdown is rewarded, or a goal is made, or a basket is made. The ball goes in the net. And all of a sudden, now the coach is okay with it. So his or her play just went out the window. His or her play ability to teach the athlete how to follow instructions just went out the window. Because the athlete realizes now, okay, I can listen to the coach, or I may not listen to the coach. If I feel as though I got a better opportunity to do X, Y, or Z, I'm going to do it. He may recognize it, but if it goes in, he's not going to say anything about it. Or she's not going to say anything about it. That's the wrong message to send. That's the wrong message to send. Because, simple fact, coaches, parents, athletes, alike, everyone, across the board, once you start sending that message, you may send that message, think that you're sending that message, or think that that message is only being received by that one athlete. But all other athletes on the team is receiving that same message because they're watching. They know what the play should have been. They're looking at the execution of the play and know that there was a player that was out of position. And that was the player that was controlling the flow of the game. But once again, a goal was made, a touchdown was made, or the ball went in the basket. So all that went out the window and was totally ignored. Responsibility, time management, following instructions. All those tangibles are a part of sports that has to start in the development phase. Has to start in the development phase. Now, does that mean the coach go out there and try to teach these things during competition? No. Going back to what I witnessed just yesterday, athlete was out of position. Little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, wherever the age of the child was, out of position. Coach goes over, grabs him by the shoulders, picks him up probably about a couple of inches off the ground, and moves the athlete into the position that he wanted the athlete to be in. Evidently, coach, you never covered that in great enough detail for the athlete to understand where he should be in the first place. He or she should be in the first place. Because they're only going to do what you teach them to do. But if you don't teach them to do it because your focus is on, let's talk about basketball, your focus is only on the point guard or your shooting guard, and now your forwards, they're out of place. They're not sure exactly what their responsibilities are. Your center is out of place. He don't understand what his responsibilities are because your primary focus is only on the guards because you look at them as being your primary scorers, then figure out a way to make that a better situation where all athletes learn and benefit from all of your instruction, even if you have to break them down into small groups and work on them individually, then that way they get more out of it so that they know when they come back together as a unified body, now each one of them know their roles and know their areas of responsibility. And now you got a better program. Well, coaches, I'm asking you, parents, I'm asking you to back this up, support this. Let's get back to teaching the basics in sport. Because without those basics, our children miss out on so many other fundamentals in life. So many other fundamentals in life. Again, you want to join in on this conversation, 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. We're here on the Parents Coach Parents Network show, folks, and we are live. We're just trying to put something out there so that parents, you understand what the basics is all about, what has to happen or what should be happening in the game. Because at the end of the day, our kids have to learn. Our kids have to learn. It's not a optional thing. It's a start of their development, start of their life. Their livelihood. Folks, we're going to take just a short break and step away for a minute. And then I'm going to come back and transgender athletes in sports. So, this is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Coach Parents Network. Folks, we'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus today.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
Hey there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott, this is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael, George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA. You left...
Hey, Mike, this is John Belant, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here, so... I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Mr. Scott, Dave Lakeville calling. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your fax.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all is going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Part of audio, I was actually just... Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just want to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand...
This is Scott. How are you? This is Dave Leto calling from Virginia. Hope all is well. Just trying to touch base.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Guys, athletes, scholarship mentors, helping and elevate, parents, coaching, parents, networking, know the game.
Hey, we're back. And folks, we've been talking about youth sports and it being a crucial part, it being a crucial part in the lives of our athletes, because it is a developmental stage, it is the developmental phase for their life. You know, there are so many other tangibles that are taught through youth sports during that developmental phase that we can't afford to overlook or omit during that phase. Because if we omit them, then we're trying to play clean up and catch up on the back end later on in life when they are middle school and high school students. And as we all know as parents, that could be a rough road by itself. So keeping them involved and making sure that they go through the proper developmental phases helps them to build and strengthen their character while being involved in sports. Now, as we're thinking and talking about building character and being involved in sports, I came across an article and some legislation that was recently sent to the governor's desk for review. And there's a very, very, very strong possibility he will be signing this legislation, into law. And South Dakota was one of the more recent states that have enacted to present a bill to the governor for law about transgender athletes. South Dakota, like 36 other states, have a anti-transgender student athletic bill. And this is being pushed forward. Once again, South Dakota has presented it to the governor for signature with a very strong belief that it will be signed with no question. You know, as we talk about anti-transgender sports legislation, many of the states that are out there that have put something in place or has something on the table is just putting it in the framework of requires that all students on sports team and compete in sports competitions based on their gender assigned at birth. These efforts assume that transgender girls, often framed as cisgender boys claiming to be girls, hold a biological advantage in girls' sports. Yeah, that does show up oftentimes. Because of the muscle development, especially if you have one that has developed some muscle over the years, you know, but there is and I'm going to look more into this, and I may come back with this here topic here later on in the year after I get some more insight on it or do some more research on it. But there are activists out there that looks at anti-transgender athletics, also motivated by anti-blackness, and that they reflect the long-standing gendered racist discrimination towards black women for being deemed too masculine. Well, when I hear that, and I hear someone talking about that or saying that, the first young lady that comes to mind is one of the Williams sisters. Now, you can't fault Serena for being, for having the muscle tone and muscle development that she has. That's just her body makeup. Can you fault her for that? She's not a boy, never was a boy. As we all know, just had a baby. So, you know, is there something behind this activist movement? Or are we overthinking it? Again, join in on this conversation, 516-453-9932, 516-453-9932. You know, anti-transgender sports efforts increasingly emerge following the high-profile case of Andrelia Yearwood and Terry Miller, two black transgender high school girls competing in track and field, same ones I just talked about, competing in track and field in Connecticut. Despite having previously defeated Yarway and Miller, three white cisgender girls were plaintiffs in a February of 2020 lawsuit that argued that the transgender girls, I'm reading this article I just pulled up, folks, and I need to get to it. Hold on a second. Okay. Where was I at? Oh, having previously defeating Yearwood and Miller, three white cisgender girls were plaintiffs in a February 2020 lawsuit that argued that transgender girls participating in girls' sports competition violates protection against gender-based discrimination under Title IX. And this is an article put out by Clifton 2021. Let me read that statement again. Despite having previously defeated Yearwood and Miller, three white cisgender girls were plaintiffs in a February 2020 lawsuit that argued that transgender girls participating in girls' sports competitions violates the protection against gender-based discrimination under Title IX. In April of 2021, a federal judge dismissed the lawsuit. Now, did that lawsuit get dismissed based upon there was no true findings? Or did that lawsuit get dismissed based upon political pressure? See, these are the things we as parents We have to ask those questions to ourselves. Have to ask those questions to our legislators. True, they may not come out and say, yeah, it was due to political pressure. But if it was due to the lack of findings, they would make that perfectly clear. It was due to a lack of findings. You know, they would tell you what the ruling was based on. Now, I said there was 36 states that have put forth, and South Dakota being the latest to say, hey, we are quite sure that this will be signed by our governor. So as we know, there are still a number of states that haven't put anything forward. Why? Are they waiting to see what the fallout will be from the other states before they take action on it? There are some things, folks, that we as parents need to bring to the forefront as it involves our children involved in sports. This topic being one of them. Legislators making these decisions, have you confronted the people? Has this question or conversation been brought to the people? Did you run on this the last time you ran for office? Was this conversation on the table the last time you ran for office? Will this conversation be on the table the next time you run for office? And it's not just this conversation. There are other conversations out there, such as name, image, and likeness. There are still a number of states that haven't taken any action as it concerns name, image, and likeness. They're saying that it's up to the university's conference or we're going to leave it up to the NCAA. Again, if we don't ask those questions, then it becomes a mute point. And then someone slides in, creates a bill, the bill slides through, because nobody is showing that they are for or against. No one has looked at or has been exposed to any pros and cons. So as a result, it slides through. And in sliding through, guess what? We get the tail end of it. Boom. It happened. It's over with. Done deal. Next. And so now we as parents are sitting back trying to explain what just happened to our students, because we should be the ones that explain this to our students, our children. It shouldn't be the institution. It shouldn't be their high school. It should be us having an understanding of what our children is involved in when they're involved in this industry called sport. We shouldn't leave it up to the high school. That's just like saying you're going to leave your child's entire recruiting process up to the high school coach. Is that his or her responsibility? No, it's not. It's not. And should your child have to take it on by him or herself? No. Folks, we have a role in this game. I'm just trying to get you here at the Parents Coach and Parents Network to be employed in that role, to understand your duties and responsibilities. And if you don't know, folks, reach out to us. we're all about making sure that we can get the information to you, connect you with resources that can help you, point you in the right direction. If we don't know it here at the Parents Coaching Parents Network, our affiliates definitely, without a doubt, 100%, our affiliates can and will answer the question. And when I say our affiliates, like-minded organizations throughout the country that I associate with here at the Parents Coaching Parents Network, that are totally connected to the Parents Coaching Parents Network that we have hosted on our show here, will be able to answer that question. So as we wrap up here or prepare to wrap up here, and we're talking about this situation with our transgender athletes, you know, until we figure out something going to be a universal effort, or at least a national effort, hey, just put together a handful of, not a handful, just put together a group of co-ed sports and allow those athletes to compete in co-ed sports, especially for those that have not taken on the full role of a sex change. Ones that's just experimenting with it, or, you know, just woke up one day and realized that he or she is in the wrong body. Okay, you want to be involved in sports, join one of our co-ed sports teams, and you can go from there. That keeps them involved, keeps them engaged, until overall the nation as a whole, to include along with the NCAA and all the other governing bodies, can come up with a logical national decision. It has to be across the board. It can't be this group of states are doing it, but in this other group of states, no one's making any effort. Or this is a mute point. Or this isn't even being looked at. It's valuable that we stay connected to sports and our children's involvement in it and the development of it. If we're not there to make sure that our children are getting the proper development, developmental skills, then we're selling them short. And we can't afford to do that, because that affects their overall character as responsible adults later on in life. So this has been M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Coaching Parents Network. And folks, hey, it's been fun. It's been real fun. Until our next show, hey, you have a great day. And on that note, guess what? We're not going to close out with my favorite college experience. I think I want to close out with another piece I came up with. And I'll tell you a little bit more about this piece later on down the line. But it's called Feel the Groove. We don't have the rights to this piece, but we're going to close you out with this piece. Have a great day. Feel the groove, folks. Feel the groove.